an NBA reporter for the New York Times, excellent NBA reporter, also the pride of Cal State Fullerton right up the road, Mark Stein is back in the jungle. My man, it is so good to have you back already. Mark, how are you?
Wait a minute. You didn't say we have to be evolved to be on this show. If that's the prerequisite, I might be in trouble.
No, bro, you definitely have evolved. You have definitely evolved. In fact, Mark, how would you say, how different are you now, Mark, than when you first got into the business and you were killing it with ESPN? How different a reporter are you now than you were then?
You know, I'd like to think I'm a little smarter, a little more cautious, a little faster, but man, I don't know. I'm still the same. I'm still the same jittery, panicky worrier I always was.
That's great.
I don't know.
No, man. I appreciate that. I think that's a real answer and a candid response. Personally, the way I read you, the way the conversation you and I had last time out, I would say no. I think you are very sure of yourself, rock solid. You're on your stuff. I think, yeah, we all evolve, man, right? You have to.
I'll take it. Your sign off is gold.
No, you got it. I mean that sincerely. All right, so if we go back to the start of last night's game, Golden State was coming off that 41-point beatdown of Houston. So going into game four, what were you thinking about the state of the series?
I mean, especially when the Warriors jumped out to that 12-0 lead, I was probably like everyone else. I thought the Rockets are broken. This thing's going to be a runaway. And the series is going to be over when the Warriors finish this thing. And then especially you thought that after the third quarter. But, man, that – you know, we came into these playoffs for D'Antoni, for Chris Paul, for James Harden. This series was really the biggest for all of them of their lives. And it's only 2-2. They still got to get two more wins. But – what they did last night, they all answered their critics in the loudest possible fashion. That was, I mean, the Rockets didn't just come back. I mean, they survived a third quarter haymaker and won the game with defense. When have we ever said that about a Mike D'Antoni team? But last night, you had to say it. They won that game with defense.
I would agree with everything you just said. When they fell behind 12-0, and especially when James Harden passed on that open three, I'm like, these guys are dead. I mean, they're not coming back from that. And Harden is going to take a terrific amount of heat. But then they did bounce back. But then Golden State hit them with that third quarter. And when they went into the fourth down by 10, I thought it was over then too. But Mark, to your last point, have you ever seen the Rockets play better defense than they did last night at any point?
No, and look, they had to take advantage of the situation because Iguodala wasn't there. And you can say, how dare the Warriors whine about anything when they have four All-Stars? But you saw last night how much they miss Iguodala, how big a deal he is to them, not just for his D and his passing, but just, you know, the settling effect. He is, you know, he's their, you know, break glass and save us kind of guy. I mean, he calms them down in tough situations. And that's kind of one of the, you know, few negatives of the Warriors' existence. They so often pound teams, especially at home, that when they're in a close game, it is a little bit of a, it can be, we've seen this happen to them on occasion. It doesn't happen a lot. Happened in game seven of the finals when they blew the 3-1 lead. You know, when they get in a tough game, they looked raggedy in the fourth quarter. They looked lost. Steve Kerr said it was fatigue. I'm sure that was part of it, but the Rockets only played seven guys. They couldn't have been super fresh. So the Rockets had to take advantage of that opportunity, but I mean, they did. I mean, their small ball team has really delivered in this series. You know, you put P.J. Tucker and Ariza and Gordon with the two stars, and that, you know, they're getting it done.
Mark Stein joining us. Mark, in terms of execution and the fact that they looked a little ragged down the stretch, what do you make of the way the Warriors handled the final full possession before Chris Paul was fouled?
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, that was obviously a mess, but really the whole fourth quarter was just, you know, shockingly bad, especially as good as they looked in the third quarter. I think the stat is, you know, that the Warriors were 30-0 when they win the third quarter by double digits. That was the first time they've lost, I think, all season in that situation. So they were unquestionably discombobulated. I mean, they just it became one-on-one. The ball stopped moving. You could see Steve Kerr on the sideline. He's trying to get these guys to move the ball, and he makes that same motion whenever the ball sticks, and it just – they – completely fell out of their offense last night. Now, look, if any team is capable of regrouping and now going to Houston and turning this series on its head again, of course it's Golden State. But, I mean, you know, the Rockets, to go from a 41-point loss to that, such a gritty win, I mean, you know, it's the last thing I expected, honestly.
I thought they showed a hell of a lot of heart, and I was not sure they had that in them, but I would never question them again after seeing that last night. Mark Stein, my guest. You know, to your point, you started this point. Let's finish this thought. It's the first time that the Warriors have been really tested in the playoffs since Kevin Durant arrived. Now, after they lost Game 2, there seemed to be a feeling that they didn't take the Rockets very seriously. Then they came back. They hammered them in Game 3. So after what happened last night, where do you think Golden State is mentally right now?
Well, I think one thing we do kind of underestimate that they have been in some pretty dire situations, and most of, you know, all of them really were before Durant got there, but, you know, they faced a 2-1 deficit to Memphis. They were down 3-1 to Oklahoma City. They've been in some bad spots in this 4-year run. So, again, no team is more capable of pulling itself together and going to Houston and turning this series around again. Look, they've got issues. They came into this series with a depth problem. And now, you know, Iguodala's hurt. We don't know how seriously Klay Thompson is injured. Was that just something, you know, can he shake that knee thing, or is that something going to linger? They obviously don't have Patrick McCaw. So, you know, they came into the playoffs. They had six centers on the roster because they wanted to be, you know, they use all their centers in different situations, and they, you know, they've kind of done it by committee, and they wanted to have all these options, but they cut Omri Caspi, and now a couple of their wings are banged up. I mean, they really are lacking in terms of wing depth. So I think they surely did the right thing by holding Iguodala out if the injury was that bad, but they're going to need Iguodala to come back and have a big game five. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I don't think they can win the series without him.
Mark Stein, my guest. One last thought before you go, Mark. Last night's game was the first competitive game of the conference finals in either side. How likely is it then that we get another one tonight when Cleveland goes into Boston?
Yeah, I mean, that's one where, I mean, Cleveland, they resurrected themselves with the two wins at home. But now every game in that series is either a travel day or a game day. And with Cleveland being the much older team, you have to think as this thing goes on, it's going to be harder for them to bounce back. But by the same token, you know, Boston has so much pressure tonight because they've just been awful on the road. I mean, they've got a young team, and they're finding it really tough to go into places like Cleveland. I mean, we saw it in Milwaukee. They couldn't win a road game in the Milwaukee series. They're really struggling in the road environment. So they know they've got to win tonight. You know, you don't want to let LeBron go home with a 3-2 lead. But honestly, at this point, let's be clear. What seems more likely? LeBron finding a way to win a game in Boston, or the Celtics coming together on the road and stealing one in Cleveland? I think we all know the answer. So Boston is under tremendous pressure tonight. They've got to win at home.
Mark Stein, the pride of Cal State Fullerton, and he covers the NBA for the New York Times. Back in the jungle. Great job again, Mark. Always good to have you on. Nice to have you back, in fact, Mark. Thank you very much.
All right, man. Always good to catch up.
You too. Mark, great job. Mark Stein joining us. All right, so what do you think is going to happen? We got a competitive game last night. First competitive game of either conference finals. Do we get another one tonight? What's going to happen? Cleveland and Boston. Also, something else just to throw out there. LeBron's having a ridiculous postseason, an amazing postseason. If he's able to drag Cleveland back from a 2-0 deficit, where does that rank amongst his accomplishments? And can you see him doing that? Can he get them across that line into the NBA Finals?